After years of head-scratching, scientists have finally figured out how insects fly. Turns out birds and airplanes can't hold a candle to the complexity of insect flight. So now, with the secrets of bug aviation in hand, researchers like Michael Dickinson are using their ingenious designs to make flying robots. These roboflies could buzz through the air on secret military operations, or even venture out into space. Dickinson explained why the fly deserves its common name.
I personally think that flies are the most sophisticated flying devices on the planet. Now, when I get together with other entomologists, you know, sometimes we have knockdown, drag-out fights between the dragonfly people and the fly people.
You really fly at each other, huh?
Yeah, we go after each other. But flies do have a number of remarkable and unique specializations that enable them to perform incredible aerodynamic maneuvers. They have rewired their eye. They have a very, very sophisticated eye. It's the fastest visual system on the planet. It's approximately 10 times faster than our own. And they use that wonderful temporal resolution in their flight behavior. Flies also have gyroscopes. They have turned their hind wing. Most insects have actually four wings and hind wings, so they have four wings all total. Flies only have two. They've turned their hind wings into gyroscopes that are able to measure the angular rotation of the body as it flies through the air. And on a moment-by-moment basis, feedback from the gyroscopes, from the visual system, is going into the flight motor and making little tiny adjustments that keeps the fly flying stably. And we believe that if we're ever going to get a mechanical robot in the air at the same size scale, we're also going to have rather sophisticated feedback of the same nature.
What kind of materials are you going to use to try to build such a robot?
One of the problems that you face in trying to make a little tiny robotic structure is you realize right off the bat, you can't use gears and pulleys and camshafts and all the sort of standard tools of machining and robotics. And again, we are trying to gather some inspiration from looking at real insects. Insects, as complicated as they are morphologically, are topologically one continuous sheet. In many ways, they're like the world's most complicated piece of origami. And all of the joints that insects have, and I think that their wing joint is the most complicated hinge, if not the most complicated structure in all the natural world, but it's really just one continuous sheet that's folded in a very complicated way. And all of the joints are flexure joints, and we're trying to build a robotic thorax that's based on the same principles.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the applications to which people are hoping to put this robotic fly.
I certainly think a search and rescue would be a wonderful application for robotic insects. Dogs, as useful as they are rather large. They can't easily maneuver through the rubble in a collapsed building. And collapsed buildings are something I think about a lot living in the Bay Area. Also, it takes a while to get search dogs to the site of an earthquake, whereas if you could imagine every fire hall having a glass jar of robotic flies and robotic cockroaches that could be sprinkled over the site of a collapsed building. And such insects could really have a rather simple task. They could just go around looking for warm things emitting carbon dioxide, for example, which is basically what mosquitoes do.
Would you imagine being able to control these robotic flies to send them to particular places?
That certainly is an application that some people are working on. I guess my own interest is really in trying to make them as autonomous as possible. And I think there are many applications where autonomous control would really be quite useful. So, for example, in planetary exploration, you could imagine instead of one big expensive device landing on Mars and crawling or walking or rolling away, and of course, if such an expensive device gets smashed under a boulder, that's the end of that's the end of the exercise. But a swarm of insects that could crawl, fly out over the surface, all sort of following their own local control. If you lose a few of them, so what? You've got, you know, several hundred remaining. And I think that's a sort of novel approach to problems of exploration.
And if you are not trying to send them here, there, or the other place, but just allowing them to search for preordained things, as you said, in the rubble, a warm body with carbon dioxide coming from it, then they would find things and then begin to transmit, not be constantly bombarding you with information.
That's right. And in many ways, this is really what insects can do so well. I believe that insects look extraordinarily intelligent, but they're not. You know, ultimately, they are little robots. They're extremely complex robots, and we'll never be able to replicate them in kind. But they're still following a relatively simple set of rules. But what comes out of those simple set of rules are some extraordinarily complex behaviors. So even the simple little fruit flies that we work on that are just flying around looking for fruity-smelling objects, and yet they do this so well. They've invaded every continent. And, you know, on a warm summer day, you can put out a bowl of peaches on the table, and within a minute, it might be swarming with fruit flies that have successfully, you know, found their target.
You know, what scares me a little bit, I have to admit, is while I'm perfectly happy to have those flies flying into the rubble to find people to be rescued from the pile of a house that's come down on them, I'm not too crazy about the idea of adding mechanical flies to the real flies who are looking at me in my kitchen.
Well, I think it does scare people in terms of surveillance and perhaps an intrusion of public spaces. I think one thing you have to bear in mind that these mechanical devices will be facing many of the same constraints that real insects have. And one of those major constraints is they really can't carry that much weight. An insect that can carry twice its body weight is doing extraordinarily well. So to imagine such a device carrying really high-resolution cameras or incendiary devices is really true science fiction. I think any real useful application for such devices is really going to focus in on one or a few rather simple cues, simple little pieces of information that the insect might be able to gather and be of use for, as I say, you know, search and rescue or some other application.
Michael Dickinson is a biologist at the University of California at Berkeley. He says it'll be a couple of years before RoboFly gets off the ground.